Tuesday morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk right here on 91.5. You're waking up with the sun every Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. I'm Ray Brewer, Long, Taylor Byrne, Case Kiefer, breaking down a UNLV victory. I know at least one person in this room didn't quite think it'd be a victorious Saturday night against the Air Force Falcons, but UNLV, Case Kiefer, after giving up 238 rushing yards in the first half, they do the unthinkable. They score 21 answered. They hold Air Force to 7 second-half points, and they control the clock by running the football.
I think last week I said if they won this game, I would bow. But I've been thinking about it, and bowing just wouldn't make any sense because this is an audio show, not a visual. So will this do it for you? Rebels! Rebels! UNLV!
Go fight, Rebels win!
Yeah, there you go. Look, I think it's a great win, and I'm not going to wouldn't take anything away from it. Air Force is a tough team, physical, hard to prepare for that offense. I honestly did not think UNLV could beat them based on what I've seen this year, and I had seen a little bit of Air Force. They came in, they were down, 11 at halftime, or I wasn't watching the games I was covering UFC, but it looked like Air Force kind of took it to them for a while. They hung in there, they came back and won. As far as talking about last weekend, I have nothing negative to say. It's a big win. I'd like to see UNLV follow it up with a couple more. I still don't think this is a successful season if they can't get to 3 wins, but for this weekend, everything's great. I'm not fired up. I'm not negative, unlike the last 2 weeks.
Let's not pretend like Case was the only guy who didn't think that UNLV was going to beat Air Force.
In this room, though.
I didn't think they were going to win. You didn't. Don't get out of here, Ray.
Two weeks ago,
you were down their throats.
Well, and rightfully so. They had lost to a lower-level team in Northern Arizona.
A lower-level team that, by the way, did have a big win for themselves, 10-point victory against Montana. It's the first time they beat them in the last 15 years.
Montana, nonetheless.
Yeah, so NAU may be a little bit better than I give them credit for. They're still not going to win the Big Sky. But your point is taken. But, yeah, I didn't think they were going to win. You realistically, well, maybe you think they're going to win every single game. I don't know, but
I was thinking on the way to the game, I stopped off at the cannery, and I'm thinking
how all great stories start.
No. To put some bets in, I went 0-7 on my bets. I lost every single one of them, and I was thinking. But when I walked in, I was like, why don't I put $20 UNLV money line, come back after the game and bet the NFL? I didn't. Now, I didn't say it on the show. I always say, though, that at the beginning of the summer, when we were talking about UNLV and where they could possibly steal wins, correct me if I'm wrong, but Ray Brewer, that's me, did say that UNLV always plays Air Force tough. True. Mm-hmm. True.
And I think before the season, I don't think we really disagreed with you. I mean, that looked like a place. I did disagree last week. I thought they had no chance after seeing them, but I think that was.
Yeah, I think we all kind of had that as a possible game because we were looking at getting out of the first four at 2-2, and all of them were conceivably winnable. But after what I had seen from both teams, no, I did not think they were going to win this game.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, you hate to look back because you can't change the past, but.
Good life lesson.
Yeah, the Minnesota game, you had chances to win. The NAU game, obviously you're up 14-0, you have chances to win. You know, this is a team, which I wrote on LasVegasSun.com, that showed in week four they were better than week one because they learned how to close, they learned how to finish. When you only win 4 games the 2 previous seasons, you don't know how to win. I mean, you just don't show up and outplay somebody and think the scoreboard's going to have more, you know, points than the other team. You've got to learn to close. You've got to learn to win. And that's why the good teams always get the breaks and finish out, and the teams that are bad need to do everything right to close out. And UNLV finally took that step. Now, are they going to win next week at Utah State or this Saturday at Utah State? Are they going to win the week after at Louisiana Tech?
No.
Probably not. Are they going to lose by 30 or 40 points?
Louisiana Tech? Yes.
Okay, because they haven't won on the road in 16 times. They haven't won on the road since October 2009. But somewhere, either A, this was a fluke this past Saturday, or B, they really are improved and the win kind of validates it, and they're going to be semi-competitive in these road games.
And you talk about the progression from week one to four and the flukiness. That's something I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on, because I think we all agree that Air Force is the best team that UNLV has played thus far, and you know, and so far it's the only win. So is it something where they just had to, you know, make some progress, finally win a close game, or is it because it was such a do you throw it out as a fluke? It's a weird offense to play against. You can't necessarily replicate what you learned against Air Force when you go and play Utah State or Louisiana Tech. Like, is there something to build off of, or is it kind of a one-off?
I definitely don't think it's a fluke. Look, I'm trying to be positive today. See, I'm smiling. Look, they brought it to them. They scored a lot of points. It certainly seems like the offense has improved. Like you said, Air Force is the best team, so I don't want to call it a fluke. But before everyone – this is the one problem with a win. Now everyone wants to throw out – I looked at some of the comments. I've heard people talking to them. They want to throw out what happened before. They need to prove this wasn't a fluke. I don't think it was a fluke, but, hey, let's look back to last year, which Ray Brewer loves to hate on how bad that team was. That team beat Hawaii, and they were a bigger underdog at home. How do we know this isn't just like that? I'm not saying it is. I'm leaning towards it not being a fluke. The way they came back, the way they had to score a lot of points and do some things late in the game, I'm leaning towards it not being a fluke, but I also think you need to prove it to me, and you're going to need to be competitive at least these next 2 weeks and not get blown out on the road.
I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I'm pretty sure Utah State's defense is top 15 overall in the country. You know, Ken Sherry and Cornette and Randall, who was basically the finisher on Saturday with three rushing touchdowns, can they move up and down the field at a team like that, at the Aggies, like they did against, you know, Air Force? I think it's unlikely, so you're going to have to – you're going to have to grind it out, you know, even more so.
Utah State's real good. I mean, they should have beat Wisconsin. They missed a field goal at the end. They beat Utah at home. It's a great college town. But they always get a lot of people at the games. UNLV, for all intents and purposes, won't even come close to winning the game. But I will say...
You flipped pretty quick there. It's something got really somber.
No.
This is part of the reason I've been getting fired up these last couple of weeks isn't just because of the UNLV situation. Well, part of it is I'm getting fired up because I care. I think we should have a winning football team. But part of it is because you just are so stick to your story of them being so much improved. Now, this week, you're kind of a...
They're improved. Listen, I'm not telling you they're not improved. They are improved. They are doing good things. Going into Utah State and winning, though... is a task that is probably a little out of reach for these guys, and that's being realistic. Okay, I'm not saying that I think they're not improved. I'm saying that Utah State is pretty good. Okay, you just don't go to Wisconsin and hold Wisconsin, which runs the ball real well. I don't care who the Wisconsin tailback is. Their offensive line is as good as it gets in the nation. You don't do what they did to Wisconsin. Plus, you know, they look good Saturday, and they beat Utah at home in a good game.
The only caveat I'll add to that is that Wisconsin looks like one of the probably the most overrated team in the country this year. And they've had a lot of struggles. But it's not an easy thing to go and do. And, yeah, I pulled it up here. Yeah, Utah State is number 11 overall in the country with total defense. So that's going to be another challenge, probably the best defense – certainly that Sherry will have faced in his career. Cornette's got to be able to find the holes. You know, it's all starts up at the offensive line, which, you know, your boy Scoggins, Ron Scoggins, Bishop Gorman grad, in his second start did really good.
I actually got to ask you about that. LasVegasSun.com sports talk right here on 91.5. It's part of the Waking Up with the Sun package. I go over it every week, but a lot of good shows by the staff at the Sun, business, entertainment, politics, you name it. We bring it to you every Tuesday morning. I thought Scoggins played great.
He did.
And I'm not the only one. What do you do now when Boyko comes back? Because he was supposed to be your best lineman,
you
right?
Give it to Boyko.
And then Scoggins, who probably, in my opinion, has a higher ceiling, is he going to...
They're playing different positions, for one.
Well, I know, but...
Because Cameron Jefferson moved over to left tackle, which is where Boyko was, and Scoggins came in at left guard.
Totally understand that. Is Scoggins staying in the lineup? Do you take Jefferson and do you keep him out? Or do you spot?
Probably not.
Because Jefferson's got the best, I think, ability on the line with his size and athleticism.
Yeah, and Bobby, after the game, was singing the praises both of Jefferson and Scoggins. I think if Boyko's healthy, you know, like 100%, you know, good to go with everything, I think you put him back at tackle, you move Jefferson back to guard, and you now have, you know, a backup in Scoggins that you know what he can do. And if somebody else on the line goes down, if you need to plug him in at right guard, I think you now have a little bit more trust that he could, you know, come in and fill that role, type of thing.
But toward the end of the year, when UNLV maybe is 1-8 or 2-7 or whatever it is, do you tell Joseph Rogers, a senior, hey, thanks, and we're going to plug this guy in and get better for the future?
Not starts, and I think maybe you rotate him in a little bit, but you don't do that to your seniors, you know, the guys who have sacrificed for your program, because, you know, those freshmen don't want that done to them when they're seniors.
Sure.
I don't think that sets a good precedent for your program.
That would be weak. I don't think that they would do that.
That would be weak.
But I would say, one, you rotate him in for sure. I didn't see the game, as I said, but I've always been high on Scoggins, covering him in high school. One, you rotate him in. Two, he's a smart guy. I've talked to him before. If he can learn all the positions – usually what a lot of colleges will do, I can remember this, is if you have a lineman that's clearly your best guy that could be a starter that isn't a starter, you kind of put him everywhere in practice, get him to learn everything. Mm-hmm. So then if a guy goes down, he's ready to jump in somewhere else. And you know, I think that should be the Earl Scoggins kind of plays for the rest of the year.
Yeah, and for me, you know, I do a lot of recruiting coverage. And I think, you know, Ron Scoggins, it comes from Bishop Gorman, nationally power Bishop Gorman. And I think it's important that he plays, because it shows other kids from Gorman, if they go to UNLV, they could have success. And one of the biggest problems to me is recruiting. You got to get better players in, and you got to keep the kids from Gorman at home.
I have a feeling that every Bishop Gorman player believes that they could step in and play as a true freshman at UNLV. I think they all think they can do that. It's not,
oh, I could agree,
it's not the reality, but I think the view of an elite high school like that on a program like UNLV is, yeah, I could step in and do that.
Yeah. That's the one thing. Anytime like UNLV football does real bad, I'll inevitably hear from like two or three people like, oh, Gorman could beat UNLV.
That is after the NAU loss. I tried to explain to people that go ahead and have the event, because you'd sell tickets to it around here, and UNLV would wipe the floor with
them. It's just the size. We're talking 17-year-olds versus 20 to 23.
It's not even a real discussion.
I do think Gorman could score once.
Yeah.
Well, they throw the ball around. That's what I mean.
Post routes. That's proven to work against the secondary.
And going back to the Air Force game, the fact that Air Force can't throw the ball played into UNLV's favor.
Man, he came in as a 60% passer. I think I had fewer than 10 attempts. He just looked so bad throwing the ball.
He was 3 of 9 for 80 yards, I think.
Yeah. And it was just, it was like the 159 yarder or something like that. I really thought that they would be able to pass the ball more effectively. And that's what killed him, because once UNLV caught up to the speed and started handling the cut blocks better, and, you know, all credit to that defense for doing that, because that's not an easy thing. You know, they started keeping them contained and keeping them inside, not letting them get around the corner. Once they did that, then Air Force, you know, couldn't counter with the pass. Like, they just looked completely lost.
What really, I guess, kind of stood out for me is what UNLV was able to do offensively in the second half. Third down.
The offense, I think, all night was there. Mm-hmm. You know, it was solid.
It was a balance between the pass and the run. Yep. Sherry made the one bad throw, the interception.
Well, I think the interception to the guy was named Alex Means. They returned it, scored easily. That was the worst throw I've seen from him all year. And there were a couple others where just, you know, behind the guy or not out. Like, he, especially in the first half, he looked a little bit out of sorts. But you look at the numbers and it was solid. And I think overall, it, you know, from the first pass towards the end, he, you know, steadily improved. And I think you could mark this down as another improvement even on week three. So you could, you know, you could say that he's gotten better every week.
He's gotten better every week. UNLV has gotten better every week. Will we be able to say that?
Have
though?
You really? From Minnesota to NAU was better?
Well, no. Well, I like several of us UNLV people, we just blocked that NAU game out like it didn't happen. So, I mean, they were up in that game. Listen.
Oh, wow, they were up.
They were up 14-0.
All right, let's just change the topic.
Case doesn't want to yell today.
No. Yeah. Calm down. No yelling. We had a minor yelling problem last week.
I don't think it was a problem. It was impassioned.
It was an impassioned speech. LasVegasSun.com sports talk, talking UNLV, Utah State, UNLV off its win against Air Force, clearly has some momentum on its side. how good of momentum, or how long do they keep the momentum up? Do they have to win at Utah State to feel good? I mean, the way I look at it is they're competitive. I think they lose the next five games. Utah State, Louisiana State, unfortunately.
Louisiana Tech. They would definitely lose to Louisiana State, too, yes. though.
Unfortunately, I think they're going to lose the Reno game, Boise State. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden.
That's four.
Four.
And then San Diego State on the road.
I think they have. Well, if it was here, I think they'd have a chance.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think they do have a chance against Wyoming, Colorado State, New Mexico, and Hawaii.
Yeah, and those are basically, you know, those four and UNLV make up the bottom five of the Mountain West. And I think, you know, maybe one might not be all that different from the other.
Yeah, that my bet still looks good, I think. I mean, not – I would have liked to have the NAU win, but the season
– It was 2.5,
yeah,
right?
The season win total is more than obtainable.
Yeah, because like we said, they were going to have to steal one. Somewhere. And I count this Air Force game as stealing one.
Oh, yeah. That's ski mask on at the bank front window with a handgun. yeah, they stole it.
They also got one stolen, though.
Yeah, they did. The NAU game. Right?
I mean, that was one you're penciling in. If you're looking at win totals, yeah, that's one where you think you're getting one.
Well, New Mexico, they're going to get one, too. How cool was it?
Maybe.
New Mexico's improved.
I'm not
writing that one in for sure. Okay. I mean, they should be favored in that game, but New Mexico, I think – has the right coach in there now. Davey's doing 10 times better than Loxley, and they beat
– Not at, hard to do better than
Loxley. Well, yeah, but still, okay. At New Mexico State, their big rival, I think they were 6-point underdogs. They won by 2 touchdowns this weekend.
I was just going to look up that score.
Yeah, I think it was 28-14 or something like that.
26-14.
Yeah, that sounds right.
LasVegasSun.com, sports talk right here on 91.5 KUNV Las Vegas. Cover a lot of stuff with the Sun, guys. The one thing that we do that I really enjoy is each week we do our NFL handicapping section where the three of us pick games against the spread.
Hold on, hold on. Are we jumping off of Utah State all of a sudden?
Well, we could go back to it. I just was going to talk about how bad I did in the NFL this week. I had no chance at all.
I hadn't looked at your record from our picks. What did you do?
I think I was 1-5.
Ooh, I was 5-1, so I've caught up to you, and we don't know what Taylor is yet.
You're the master, dude, because I have my game was an overtime total over in the Dolphins-Jets game. The NFL, when I looked at the lines last week, guys, and every game was like 2.5 or 3.5 points, I knew I was going to have some problems, and I was on the wrong side of absolutely every game. There could have been a guy with a coin. He said, it's a two-headed coin, heads or heads. I would have taken heads, and it would have landed on tails somehow.
You're just on a roll with these visuals today.
Yeah.
I should point out, if you listen to our show frequently, you heard us get into a big argument about UNLV last week. For 1 week, Brewer can hang his head high, be happy, because he was right. UNLV beat Air Force. I said they had no chance. But we had an equally as impassioned debate in the office about the Colts-Jaguars. So you told me I was crazy to think the Jaguars are as good as the Colts. And we had an impassioned argument about the Chargers and the Falcons because you think the Chargers are the best team in the NFL. So I will say we're even because you won on UNLV, but the two NFL games, I got to say I handicapped you, right?
I was 100% wrong in the Charger game. The worst part is that I was doing real good in the in one of the local handicapping contests, and I went Friday morning to do it, and I was so tired, I accidentally picked the Falcons because you were hammering me on the Falcons so much. So I have no idea. And then I had it in my hand, and I'm like, well, should I go back? And I'm like, well, you should never change your opinion. But you're right.
So did you go? You got to finish the story. Did you go back?
No, I didn't go back. I ended up picking the Falcons.
Oh, there, that's
hey,
good.
Way to go.
But I lost every other game. I was on the wrong side of literally every other game. I still stand by the Colts, though. I mean, the Jacksonville did score on a 80-yard touchdown with 40-some seconds.
They still were covering.
Huh?
They would have covered even if they didn't
score. Yeah, I know,
that.
But okay, you're right.
Our debate was plus three.
Yeah. You're right. Our debate was plus three. I made a comment thinking just straight up because I'm so focused on this pick the pros contest.
Wow. Laser-like focus from Ray
Bruner. Well, no, because I was trying to get the most losers. That was my new strategy.
Gotcha.
And I had like 5 losses in 2 weeks, so I thought I'd be in contention there for a while. And then this week I went like 9-3.
Let me give one update. You are actually 1-4, and you're pending tonight. You have the over.
Oh, great.
I am 5-1, so you could go 2-4 and be right in there. And Taylor is, I believe, 2-3 pending, or 3-2 pending tonight.
LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk, taped every Monday on the Sun podcast studio for our show each Tuesday on KUNV. So, of course, we're talking about that Monday night game that happened tonight or last night if you're listening live. But the show, our radio show, is archived on the Las Vegas Sun website. So if you do miss us on KUNV, if you're not up, wake up with the Sun and just click on our website and go ahead and listen and give us your feedback about the Rebels, about sports gambling, about the UFC, where I also was awful this weekend. UFC 152 in Toronto. I send Case Kiefer an email. I'm like, bro, how are my UFC picks going? He's like, so far so good. You missed the first 8 fights. Are you kidding me?
That's impressive.
Like, I mean, that's a
skill.
That's red or black, odd or even, heads or tails, and I was on the wrong side 8 times, right? Because I'm on tilt because I got that sports bet application on my phone. It breaks. I got to go to the ATM to go to the cannery where I go 0-7. And then I can't get. I got to take a pause for the cause.
It's a tough life, right, Brewer?
In your defense, I think everyone did pretty poorly. The first 6 fights, I think there were 5 underdogs, or maybe it was 6 underdogs in the first 7 fights. So a lot of winners people didn't see coming in the UFC this weekend.
Okay, fight of the night was.
The fight of the night was.
In your opinion, not voted by the commissioner.
Well, the most memorable, I guess, and if we're only going to talk about one, should probably be the main event, John Jones and Vitor Belfort. Vitor Belfort pops Jones's elbow, almost breaks his arm. No one gave him any chance in this fight and came literally about a second away from beating him in the first round. Jones beat him up from there for the next 4 rounds, but that was the closest we've ever seen Jones to losing, so I think that's going to be what's remembered out of this card.
And I think everybody obviously wanted to know how Jones would react following his the 151 disaster, following his DUI arrest and all the changes. And at least for the end of the fight, he showed that he still is John Jones dominant. Tough to beat a guy with that kind of reach.
Yeah, for sure. Vitor says that he let up on the arm bar he had for just a second when he heard it pop because he thought the fight was going to be stopped, and that really might have been the difference, but it still just shows you how great this guy is. He has his arm broken or hyperextended, whatever happened to his elbow, and he still goes on and fights for 18 more minutes and just absolutely brutalizes the guy. I mean, it got hard to watch. He's beating him up so bad, and that's with a hyperextended elbow or broken elbow or whatever ends up being wrong with Jones.
And then Michael Bisping and... Brian Stann. Brian Stann got a few good licks in there, eh?
Yeah. Stann won the first round, came on strong at the end, hit Bisping with some big punches. But Bisping's just better all around and took the final 2 rounds to win a unanimous decision.
Disaster.
You had that one?
I know. I had that one. In the Benavidez fight, who won that one?
Demetrius Johnson. Oh. We all missed that one. Upset, really close fight, but Demetrius Johnson won a decision.
LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. Talking the UFC and with our UFC insider, Case Kiefer. And
I thought we had less time left. I was trying to go quickly through this recap.
Yeah, so do I, and I can't see the clock from here.
We got like 5 minutes. I will say I made a mistake earlier in the show. This isn't UFC related, but Taylor Byrne is actually 4-1 heading into tonight where he has the Packers.
How about that?
So... Right. Well, we had a pretty good week.
Now I feel bad.
Nostradamus over here.
Nostradamus.
He's 0-9-1, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. That was one of my favorite things last week. I was looking at the Super Contest standings, the biggest handicapping contest in Las Vegas, $1,500 to enter. There's 770-some-odd members. Very last place at 0-9-1 was an entry named Nostradamus.
Pretty good.
Ironic.
Now I feel bad for people who like picked against me this week because that was my advice after 2 straight 1-5 weeks is just go on the opposite side.
Yeah, that's true. I think we've clinched collectively our first winning week.
Hey.
As a group, if the over comes in, Brewer, you're beating yourself up a 2-4. I know it sounds bad, but it isn't terrible. I mean, in a contest like this, you're going to have some 2-4 weeks.
Oh, I feel like it was worse than that. I mean, you got to understand. I'm sitting there Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning. We got the playoff matchup in our fantasy baseball league that we were all involved in, right?
Case killed me on the final
day. I'm in three fantasy football leagues. I got this pick the pros that I was in good shape with, right? My Pirates are losing to the Astros.
Just not your day.
Right? UNLV had just won, so
you were trying to parlay that success.
No. But we got home from the game at what, 1 in the morning?
Like 1:30.
Okay, so I got home a little before you. I live closer to the stadium. I left earlier. So I slept 3 hours Friday night, Saturday morning, because I was in California for Gorman. I sleep another 4 or 5 hours. I'm exhausted. I've got my kid wanting to watch Yo Gabba Gabba. And when I pull the computer out, he wants to play on the computer. I can't keep track of the games. He had cracked my cell phone. So I'm sitting here trying to figure out what's going on. I can't even get on the internet anywhere. And next thing you know, it's like every game I have, I'm losing in humiliating fashion.
Can I rescind my earlier statement? I am convinced that UNLV's win against Air Force was a fluke. It was just the karmic forces, knowing how bad of a day you were going to have Sunday. They had to give you a win on Saturday night.
See, they came through and they helped me out. But yeah, fantasy sports are fun. I mean, were you relaxed at all yesterday because of fantasy sports?
Relaxed because of it?
Yeah. Or was it fun? Yeah. It's supposed to be fun. I mean, my matchup came down to Homer Bailey strikeouts.
It came down to one strikeout, right?
One strikeout. So I'm sitting there trying to eat my Sunday pasta
dinner. You're talking baseball.
Yeah. I'm watching the Reds-Dodgers game trying to eat dinner. Homer Bailey's pitching. I'm in front of the TV begging that somebody just makes contact. Because one strikeout, he gets the point, we're tied, and he wins the tiebreaker.
Yeah, and I would have been freaking out. But because Case and I, and it's 10 categories, and everything was up for grabs, but he put it away quick.
I was actually rooting for you because I'd rather play you than him because his team is that loaded. Of course you should,
because my team's not very good. I shouldn't have gotten this far.
And I was rooting for you because I still want vengeance from that 10-0 beating
earlier
in the year.
If I could duplicate that for a 5-5, I might win the tiebreaker on that 10-0, right?
Oh, I didn't think about that. I'm just going to have to make this more definitive.
Mr. Fantasy Baseball over here, Ray Brewer. it's all competitive, LasVegasSun.com sports talk. I guess predictions for UNLV in the final minute, Taylor Byrne. What's the final for the Utah State game, and do you think they win more than three or more games?
They're going to lose Utah State. I would still put it at, I think 3 wins. The season's possible.
Are they going to lose by 1 to Utah State or 21?
No, probably like 10 or so. Former coach Mike Sanford, assistant at Utah State, will get a small bit of revenge there.
Ugh. Might get a Gatorade bath. I've got Utah State 31-13. Not terrible for UNLV, but the one thing I would emphasize is they got to get to 3 wins. For me to not think about what happened in the disaster of these first 3 games, they got to get at least 3 wins, preferably 1 on the road and preferably even 4.
LasVegasSun.com sports talk right here on KUNV every Tuesday morning, 7 a.m. For Taylor and Case, I'm Ray. We'll talk to you all next week. Have fun.